You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews 2020. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, our focus is the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners. In this race, there are three open seats, most of the seats on the five-member board. Dr. Kyle Horton is one of six candidates, a medical doctor who earned her MBA and MD from Wright State University's Boonshoft School of Medicine. Dr. Horton completed her residency at Virginia Commonwealth University Medical Center in Richmond. She has taken her experience as an internal medicine physician from Hunter Holmes McGuire Veterans Affairs Medical Center to consult with and advocate for veterans and their clinicians, specifically on improving care for those veterans exposed to toxic substances. In 2018, she challenged Representative David Rauser for the seat in North Carolina's 7th Congressional District. She lost to the incumbent by almost 13 percentage points, but in New Hanover County, one of eight counties in the district, she beat Rauser by almost 5.5 points. She joins me now. Dr. Kyle Horton, welcome to Coastline.
Great to be here, Rachel.
The sale of New Hanover Regional Medical Center is not technically a done deal, but the negotiation, defining terms, setting up the governing bodies, that part is underway. And you've said quite vociferously, you oppose doing anything with the hospital until January of next year after the new board is seated. What's your ideal outcome? What would you do to protect public health, a component of your platform, if it goes through without you?
You know, if the deal goes through, my biggest concern has been that we know that as you create larger monopolies, that then costs of care can increase and that you can have adverse effects on the quality that can worsen disparities. And certainly in this pandemic, part of my concern has always been that this is the wrong time to lose local control. And when we don't know what the future of healthcare is going to look like. So going forward, what I would like to do is ensure that we really hold Novant's feet to the fire in this deal, that we ensure that however that foundation evolves, that we really protect accountability to all of us, because these are our healthcare dollars and our taxpayer dollars, that this is too big of an issue to be about one commissioner's pet projects or those who have voted for this. We have really got to ensure that we create a robust public health safety net, not just because of COVID, but because of these disparities and the increase in cost that's going to disproportionately harm most likely small businesses who will have to weather higher premiums for insurance and the like. So expect me to be fighting for that safety net and to make sure that we keep accountability in as much as we can going forward and looking at the governance structure and how we spend the money.
So if you were speaking directly to the commissioners now, are there elements of this deal that you would want to make sure that they define a certain way?
So, you know, right now, my big concern is that, you know, obviously we have not been let in on nuances of the strategic plan, and the legal language is still going to be coming and evolving. But right now, really, they're only holding Novant to really egregious violations, and there's a lot of flexibility. And what we know is that as you grow and, you know, create these large monopolies, that you don't get economies of scale, but actually what happens is you disenfranchise doctors and nurses, that you know, clinician to patient ratios increase, that they start scaling down the scope of certain services and outreach into the community because they're not a public, you know, hospital in the way that New Hanover has been investing in housing or you know, working with Habitat, for example, and the food banks for all of these things that are considered social determinants of health, but they're really policy and political determinants of health. And so what I'm looking for is better language and stronger language that really maintains this relationship in which our public officials, you know, have oversight into these appointments and can ensure that the money that's going forward is still going to be protecting our public health safety net.
And so does that mean that you would want the Community Foundation, which will be the body that oversees a very large pot of money, you would want that to be under the oversight of the local government commission. Is that what I'm hearing?
That would be a better plan. And, you know, in my ideal world, I would love to see us go to more of a regional hospital authority model going forward. That the case that they laid out of not being able to meet capital needs in the other counties, I feel like could be better met with a different governance structure that wouldn't have necessarily required, you know, selling to someone like Novant. And I do think it would have been possible through an academic partnership to get a lot of those, you know, capital needs met. And so I do think that we should be looking to have more public accountability and not essentially have all of the members controlling these funds have to be confirmed by Novant.
The Board of Education and the new Hanover County School District has seen a pretty tumultuous few years with the resignations of the superintendent, deputy superintendent, school district attorney. Most recently, the board chair stepped away. What is happening with this district, and what could you do? What kind of influence could you hold over the school board, if any?
You know, I think this is really the question of the day in a lot of ways. And as we're looking at moving towards Plan B, there are certainly implications to public health there that I'm looking at. And what I think we need to do is to sort of refine the relationship between the school board and the county commission, that as the funding entity on the county commission, I think we need to put back sort of a set of budget development meetings that are public and available, so that sort of the power of the purse that we have as county commissioners ends up being more of an oversight role than what it has been in the past. Because I think, you know, our funding structure, if we look at, we're roughly sixth in wealth in terms of ranking the counties in North Carolina, but we're somewhere around 20th for funding our public schools. That's not good enough for our kids. And certainly when we're in this tumultuous time of crisis, I think the more integrated leadership we have between the county commissioners as the, you know, ultimate funding source, the better.
You know, we've heard from elected officials over the years that holding public office is never what they imagined it would be, even at the local level, having to answer emails all the time, getting angry phone calls in the middle of the night, blow back negativity. I've heard from one elected official, he's had to deal with death threats. Why do you want to hold office when at this point, politics is just, it's so divisive and angry?
It is so divisive and angry. But, you know, I'm someone, you know, I became a doctor, not because it's easy, but because I wanted to help people. And at the times when things are the darkest is when I really want to be there for people and step up. And I think a good example is my work on veteran suicide, that, you know, that was sort of one of the darkest moments for me as a clinician, was nearly losing patients in between when I saw them and they got integrated into mental health. And I wanted then, you know, with all my heart to make a difference on that issue, even though it was so difficult. And it was divisive even on the Hill because people just didn't want to talk about it. And so I think in this time, we need that kind of caring and responsive leadership to tackle these really difficult issues and to really try to bring people together in whatever way is possible. But I'm really excited to serve because of the tremendous challenges and the changes in accountability and transparency, where I think my particular kind of leadership with listening and caring and taking action in the way that I have, even providing PPE to the community during this crisis, through Cape Fear OSMS, that kind of proactive to get things done that are needed to keep our community safe is what I think we need to bring people together.
What do you mean by transparency and accountability? Is that part of your plan, is to increase those two things? How would you do it?
What my concerns have been is, one, we were all blindsided, obviously, with the hospital deal. And, you know, canceling the agenda meetings as far as the, you know, county commission goes, those agenda meetings are vital for us as community members and televised agenda meetings to really know, you know, what's coming forward throughout this hospital deal, including, you know, with the last vote on the letter of intent. Most of us in the community believed that they were just going to be bringing forth the idea of advancing the Novant deal, that they were not going to have, you know, sort of the final draft language of the letter of intent to vote on at that meeting. You know, those kinds of breaches in transparency, you know, really can't continue. People are concerned that this is just about backroom deals and, you know, that it's not being done in plain view, and the strategic plan not being, you know, publicly available is, I think, a part of that mistrust. And so what I want to do is put back those agenda meetings, move the meeting times to more convenient evening hours, which, you know, wouldn't have helped me much as a doctor, but at least for those who work more normal 9-to-5 schedules, they could actually get to the meetings and really ensure that when we're developing the Unified Development Ordinance and things like that, there is more opportunity for public input and not less. And that's what I mean about accountability and transparency.
It's more than 3 years now since we've learned about Gen X and the water supply, and that was just the tip of the iceberg. As we've discovered, there are all kinds of unregulated, potentially toxic compounds in our drinking water supply. At what point are institutions going to stop passing the buck in terms of making sure the water supply is safe to drink and people don't have to have reverse osmosis systems in their homes to have safe drinking water? Is there anything that can be done at the county level?
You know, there are some things that I think can be done at the county level. And a lot of it has to do with helping to inform us on the environmental health side, and engaging, you know, public health experts into this conversation. And also on the consumer education side, so that as we're making decisions in purchasing at the county level, and then as individuals, when we're, you know, getting out there, we know what products contain PFAS and are actually going to increase our exposure. And that kind of education has never really been done. And I'm really looking to hopefully start that conversation, to work with the state officials to start towards PFAS-free purchasing, so that we're not putting in, you know, carpets that are Scotchgard and contain PFAS. And then we really need to be working in concert with DEQ as aggressively as possible to be protected in that consent order. And so, you know, leaders like Senator Harper Peterson or Representative Deb Butler, we need to be working county to state to really ensure that we're both getting through DEQ what we need, and hopefully through legislation at the state level that starts to protect us with you know, the kinds of infrastructure and actual holding feet to the fire and forcing polluters to pay.
There was a recent change of a county park name from Humacrae to Longleaf Park. It was a divided vote. The statue of George Davis, Attorney General for the Confederacy, has come down for public safety concerns. There are people who think that this is cancel culture run amok, trying to erase history. How do you see this issue? And what do you think the work of the county is at this point?
You know, we're at a flashpoint in our country, and, you know, the pain of our original sin of slavery is very real for people. And we know that, you know, across generations, that systemic and structural racism has really been the case in this country. It's a norm, and it's influenced and propped up by policy, like those things that I was talking about, of social determinants of health that are really political and policy determinants of health, is that a lot of these, you know, structural, you know, racism policies are evoking even Jim Crow and attempts at taking away people's votes. These are all issues that are sort of reflected and emblematic in these names of, you know, previous leaders of the coup and in, you know, Confederate soldiers. And so we need to stop kind of marginalizing this conversation and making it just about statues and really have a real conversation about what it is in terms of, you know, structural and institutionalized racism. So, you know, you can expect me as county commissioner to really look at, you know, diversity and inclusion and equity from the perspective of public health and addressing maternal mortality for African-American women that's been three times higher in this country. And to really take the conversation just away from symbols to really having a hard look at ourselves and this country and what we have chosen to do in propping up structural racism over generations.
Okay, very briefly, we're running out of time, but climate change is impacting the Cape Fear region. We see it in the form of more frequent and serious flooding on the Cape Fear River. What do local governments need to do about this, if anything?
You know, I'd love to see us really go forward with a robust clean energy plan. And you know that I have a personal connection to the loss of life with the Deepwater Horizon. And so, you know, I've seen reckless energy policy. Make sure and that, you know, we address stormwater and the way we move forward and the utility to keep us safe. And we really need to look at innovative ways to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels and develop a robust clean energy plan.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Dr. Kyle Horton, Democratic candidate for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks also to Republican candidate Skip Watkins and Democratic candidate Leslie Cohen. One-stop voting begins October 15th. Coastline's producer is Rachel Keith. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.